charming rosy blue morning.
Yes, sir. like AT&T, praise God, he reached out and touched somebody. Glory! Touch somebody. And I wouldn't mind having a little bit of touch of God here today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Anybody else got a song for us this morning?
Thank you, Lord.
Brenda's got one.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I just, you know, that song just came out of my mind this morning.
Good. Glad you did that.
I thought, I'm going to sing that.
Amen. Amen. Sister Sharon. Great song.
What number is it?
First one.
Bless the Lord.
I just want to say I thank the Lord today. I just praise His name.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful for all He's done for me.
Amen.
I called Brother Eddie this week because I was really worried about Becky.
Yeah.
But thank God. I mean, all of this was just really
good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. I love Him so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord.
And before I loved Him, He loved me.
Yes. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. What a Savior.
So much to thank you for, brother.
That's right. You can just save me, bless me each and every day.
Can't count. Good morning, brother.
Bless the Lord.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah.
Yeah. Y'all, but I'm not on no schedule.
I come
to have church, come to worship the Lord.
Right.
I'm here for the Word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. And you know, I know we got everything, you know, drive through, fast food, and all that. Man, something's worth waiting for. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Preached all is lost, say no.
Bragging, got a song, brag on Jesus, amen.
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 Man, I'm hoping to be able to do some at myself here today.
Amen.
Nobody never done for me what he done for me.
That's right.
I don't think
that's
this thing was on because the light lit up. But anyway, praise God. I thank God that we can brag on him. I'm glad we can lift him up in song and praise and testimony. Man, I enjoyed that homecoming service last Sunday. And I admit it, I held back part of the message. We're going to continue this morning in the same line of what we preached about last Sunday on how to fill a church. So you can be opening up your Bibles to Mark chapter number 2. But we may even go one more service in the direction of that message. I don't know if I can get it all in this morning. We'll be done with this morning. But I don't see how in the world I can get all this message in one service. But I'll try. And if I can't, well, next Sunday we'll probably hit the third part of how to fill a church. One reason I want to preach this message this morning is because of the hour we're living in, and churches are really struggling right now. I noticed this message got downloaded quite a bit off the internet. I don't know about the Facebook marketplace live stream, but a lot of churches are struggling right now, and maybe this message might help them a little bit.
Yeah.
Understand some of the circumstances that can't be neglected when it comes to filling a church. But I also want to preach it because the Lord put it in my heart and led me in this direction, and I want to obey Him. But we're going to be preaching out of Mark chapter 2 again. If you want to get your good old King James Bible out, well then what I read and what you'll see, they'll be the same, amen. You know, God's not the author of confusion.
That's right.
And I certainly don't want to authorize it neither. But we're going to read a little bit more than we did last Sunday. The reason for that is I held part of that message back. I realized, you know, we wanted to accommodate the singing. I like hearing songs about Jesus. It wouldn't have hurt my feelings a bit if we had the whole homecoming service on singing. As long as it's about Him,
amen,
I'm all for it, amen.
Yeah.
But listen, even the fellowship and the food, we had to accommodate that. So I kind of cut both ends off of it. And we're going to hit on the rest of it here this morning. We're going to read a little further than what we read last Sunday. We're going to read all the way down to verse number 12. And the Bible says, and again, that's important, because he'd already come to Capernaum. You find that in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. But it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room. Boy, I like it on that fashion. I like it when it's standing room only. I like it when people are trying to get in, kind of like one of them Trump rallies, amen, where you can't get them all in, and there's people on the outside, and it's full on the inside. But listen, I want you to know, I'm preaching about Jesus this morning. Hey, listen, He was there, and word got out that He was there, amen, Brother Mitchell. There was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. That means a big crowd.
Yeah.
Said, well, they couldn't even get close to the door.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're talking about a bunch of people.
Uh-huh.
And he preached the word unto them. Praise God for those verses. But we want to read on. And they come unto him. That's what we need to do. We need to come to him.
Amen.
Bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I told Brother Ed, I said, here's the first mention of a church van. You know, a church van's got four wheels on it, and it carries people. You know, the church, and this don't have wheels. It's four men. They're carrying a man's bed, and it's got a man in that bed, and he's sick of the palsy, and they're trying to get him to Jesus. But you know what? This kind of pictures a church van right here. The same objective, get people to the Lord, amen. Hey, we'll go out and load up that van, bring them to the house of God, and try to get them some help, amen. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that ain't talking about the fake news media, that's just talking about so many people pressing, trying to get in this house where Jesus is, they couldn't come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof.
where he was. Man, one way or another, they're determined, amen. They're not taking no for an answer. Hey, they're not making an excuse, brother head. Hey, they said one way or another, we're going to get this man to Jesus. So they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And notice this. When Jesus saw their faith, boy, it's a tremendous statement.
Yeah.
He saw that they had some faith in him. He saw how determined they were to get this man to him. I want you to know the Lord's looking for faith. I mean, we need to have it ourselves. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He saw their faith, amen. And he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And this is, I don't think I'll get to this, but this is a text that will probably be in the third message if we don't, if we're not able to finish this message today. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
Yeah.
And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Will it be easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? And listen to this. But that you may know, woo, that the Son of Man have power on earth, amen, to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, Brother Mitchell, and took up his bed, Brother Ed, and went forth and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed.
Yeah.
Amen, Carolyn. And glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Like I said, we're preaching on how to fill a church. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in this God-forsaken day that we've come to.
Yes.
Lord, when our country, Lord, has turned its back on God.
Yes.
Lord, when our schools are corrupt and our churches are corrupt. And Lord, a lot of things in this country ought not be like it is for one that you've so blessed and raised up. Lord, in the presence of the whole world, that they even took note of this great country you raised up. Lord, you evangelized the whole world with this country called America. And Father, we pray, Lord God, today, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, what breath you give us, what thoughts you give us, Lord, to deliver what we can in this message, Lord. I can already tell there's more here than this little preacher can deliver, Lord, in one setting. But Lord, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to let you lead. I'm praying, Lord, that you'll get your bidding done here today. Whatever, Lord, you're willing for me to say, help me to say it. Whatever you're willing for me to do, help me to do it. Lord, I pray you'd help me to remember to give you all the praise and glory. Lord, I thank you for these faithful few that are before us. I thank you, Father, for those that will see this message by way of the internet, by through the Facebook live stream. And thank you for Brother Head, Lord, not just having it in his heart, Lord, to do what he's doing, but Lord, being forward to it. Father, I pray also for those that are hearing this message by way of the internet service on sermon audio. Lord, bless, I pray, and give praise and glory, I pray, in Jesus' holy, blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, we're preaching on how to fill a church. Last Sunday, I just really touched on the subject. It takes Jesus to fill a church.
Amen.
Hey, it takes singing to fill a church and the right kind of singing. Amen. I know how things are. I know you want to kind of creep the country music in and you want to get the drums and the lights in, and a lot of churches have succumbed to that. But I want you to know I like the kind of singing that goes on here. I appreciate Sister Brenda. I appreciate Sister Joyce. I appreciate Brother Jared leading in those songs. I appreciate Brother Mitchell saying, hey, can we sing that other song there at the end there? Amen. I want you to know I appreciate it. Amen. It takes the right kind of singing, amen, to fill a church. I've been in churches. They had good singing, this wrong kind. It was kind of, I have to admit, it kind of grieved me a little bit that went on in a church. Amen. Hey, it takes preaching to fill a church. And listen, when the preaching is about Jesus, it'll accomplish the objective, amen. And last of all, I said it took you to fill the church, and we hit on that last Sunday. And we're going to take off now on what I left out last Sunday. Hey, listen, it takes works to fill a church.
Yeah.
Hey, this didn't just happen. I want you to know a lot of work went in to Jesus being in this house. James said, faith without works is dead. Yeah. Amen. Hey, in James chapter 2, verse number 20. And I've been in a lot of dead churches. I'll tell you right now. I mean, brother, it's dead. Amen. Hey, I've been in so many dead churches. Jude mentions about being twice dead, plucked up by the roots. In Jude, verse number 12. My neighbor invited me and my wife to a revival back when we lived down the Glasgow Avenue Road. And I don't guess it hurt to mention it, but we went to a revival at the Big Meadow Baptist Church. And I'm not kidding you, it was so orthodox. When we got there, everybody sat like this. I mean, nobody moved nothing. I just got saved. I couldn't sit like that.
No.
I mean, here the gallery, I can name the preacher. Y'all might know him. I won't for his sake. But he's up there, you know, and I kind of felt like he was struggling, Brother Jared. So I kind of squeaked out a little bit of amen. My neighbors, both of them, my neighbor, brother, let's see, if I remember the name, I could have before I tried to. They slid down the other end of the pew. Come on, Lord. Their son, Eddie Reese. Homer and Leoma Reese, yeah. Homer and Leoma Reese, that's good neighbors, real good neighbors. You couldn't ask for no better neighbors. Homer and Omer Reese, they live right beside me. And they were the best neighbors ever. I've got nothing but good to say about them. But here we are in this church, and I ain't kidding. Hey, it was worse than a funeral home. Hey, I want you to know he's dead on the doornail. Hey, and the preacher got up there, and I thought, well, you know, amen, brother. Hey, and they slid down the other end. Hey, they wouldn't talk to us, no handshaking, no nothing. And on the way home from that service, my wife, she was crying. She said, honey, it's okay. Some churches just need the Lord in them. You know, we're just so orthodox. They leave the most important part out. Any women do any cooking? Yeah, I'll tell you that my son is good too. But you know what? They know what they're doing. They know what to put in there to make it good. Hey, I got some of Phyllis's Delvin's apple dumplings today, man. I just want you to know, if you don't put all the ingredients in there, it don't turn out right. And the most important ingredient that needs to be in a church is Jesus.
That's right.
I tell you what, buddy, when Jesus is on the menu, old brother Eddie show up, I'll enjoy it, amen. I'll shout, amen. Hey! Praises of God, amen.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what, buddy, that was a dead church out there. My wife, she encouraged me on the way home. She said, don't pay no attention to them, honey. But, you know, I have to admit, I don't know how you could get a blessing there. There wasn't even a holy grunt. It was that. And I'm not kidding you. They said just like this. Nobody turned their head. They all looked straight ahead. But, you know, I ain't got no axe to grind here. I just want you to know, I realize, buddy, they had some problems, amen. And a lot of churches like that, they're dead today because they won't let the Lord in, amen. It's kind of like what the Lord said there in Revelation. He got talking about a bunch of churches. He said, I'm at the door knocking. He said, if you'll open that door, I'll come in and sup with you, and you can sup with me. I like supping with Jesus, amen.
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 Notice verse 3. It said, they come unto him. You know why this place is so full? He's there. Brother Ed, they're coming to him. Hey, he's preaching the word unto them. Look up in the latter part of verse number 2. They come to hear the preaching. Hey, they come to see him. They're bringing their loved ones to him. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You get the Lord. You get everything right in the church.
That's right.
They'll come, amen.
Amen. Come on in.
Notice verses 40 through 45 of Mark chapter 1. I left all this out last Sunday. I couldn't figure out no way to get it in. Look here in the latter part of the previous chapter. It said there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Boy, you want to get Jesus' attention. You come asking him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, here's a leper.
Right.
Brother Don, he can't help himself. He needs help. Now look, old brother Eddie, I'll do anything for you. I will.
there's just some things I can't do.
Right.
I do what I can, that's all I can do.
Right.
But he come to Jesus.
Hey,
there ain't nothing he can't do.
Right.
I mean, buddy, he walked on the water. I can't do if it's frozen, you know what I mean? I mean, he walked on the water, and the waves were raging. Hey, he called me dad. They got up. He did it on them, amen. Hey, I want you to know, buddy, this leper come to the right one.
Yeah.
Hey, he asked the right question, buddy. Hey, he said, Lord, he said, if thou will, thou canst make me clean.
Yeah.
And Jesus moved with compassion.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
Sister Brenda's trying to sing about him.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Woo! She said, I want to praise him.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
He got compassion.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, I thank God for a Savior like that.
Amen.
He's got compassion.
Yes, he has.
Man, I want to have some myself.
That's right.
I do. I'm a little dogmatic about some things. But I don't want to be about everything. I like to have a little compassion. It makes a difference about
it. Amen. That's
or
right.
Some Jews said, have compassion.
Yes.
Making a difference. I like to have compassion.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm dogmatic. I know I can't let some things slip. But I want to be firm with compassion.
Amen. That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I don't want you to be worried about being my brother Eddie, bite your head off, say something out of ordinary. I don't want to be like that. I want to have compassion. Hey, he's got oceans of compassion. And the Bible said, and Jesus, praise God, was moved with compassion.
That's right.
Pull forth his hand. Whew.
Good.
What'd you sing about Sharon?
He touched me.
And touched him.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lay hands on him.
That's right. It's good.
That's right.
I like it when he touches me. I don't know about you. I've been down that road before. I come down the road yesterday, and I'm wiping tears. Somebody gave me an obscene gesture, and I just said, Lord, forgive them, help them, Lord, get what I got, amen. I didn't know she beside me.
That's right.
I didn't. I was on double lane highway, and they beside me. I mean, they come out of nowhere. And I'm just going to get over right hand lane, let people go through, and they blowing that horn up by me, and I can't give you the gesture they gave me, but hey, I just went wiping tears, saying, Lord, forgive them, Lord, help them to have what I got, amen.
Amen.
He put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Boy, ain't that good to have a Savior like that.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I got all kind of needs.
Amen.
Now, I read there in the Bible, Brother Mitchell, it says casting all your care upon
right.
Him.
Right.
For he cared for you.
Right.
Yes,
in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. I read in there, and I believe it's a Psalm 755 verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he'll sustain thee.
That's right.
Hey, I read where he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden's light. I'm thanking God for a Savior like that. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. Hey, he said, I will, he said, be thou clean. Don't you want to know that leper was glad to hear that?
Yes.
I never had leprosy before, but just take for instance, old Buddy Eddie's died of cancer. And I'm just here out of necessity, and I can't hardly even stand up. I mean, I'm just all knotted up. And the Lord said, I will be thou healed, Buddy Eddie. And y'all see me saying, woo! Hey, I'm feeling pretty good. They said, what do you mean? I said, I'm feeling real good. I mean, somebody touched me.
Amen.
Yes.
He said, be thou clean. And as soon as he'd spoken, was that word? Immediately.
Yep.
The leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed, and he straightly charged him. Now, Jesus, he didn't want no money. I know all these people, they say, send me money and I'll send you a handkerchief. You know, he didn't want no money.
Right.
He said, just don't tell nobody. How do you keep that quiet?
Yes, right.
You know what I mean?
Brother Eddie.
I mean, I know I'm a fanatic. I don't deny the charge. I wish there was more fanatics. I wish we had more fanatics.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'm all for that. Listen.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, he touched me.
Yes, he did.
I still ain't got it. How did he get over it?
That's right.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but I wish he'd kind of do it again. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, and he straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded.
for a testimony unto them. He's telling the Moses' law concerning leprosy. But look at verse 45. Now you're talking about a good Baptist. But he went out and began to publish it abroad, and the blaze abroad the matter. When he went out and began to publish it much. I've got my line off there. And the blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. I want you to know, buddy, when the word gets out, they'll find him. That's what's going on here in Mark chapter 2. It takes works to fill a church.
Yes, it does.
I pulled in the parking lot this morning. And I saw how immaculate everything was. That don't just happen.
That's right.
Now, I know Brother Jerry worked hard, but he got it looking good out there.
Yes, he
does. And it looks good on the inside. And there's a lot of care put forth to this church to make it look good. You know, I've seen churches where it was overgrown with nettles, and you know, everything was falling off. I saw Brother Head just a few days ago talking about one of them handrails out there. He said, we need to replace that. And then we got a brand new one out there. That's what you got to do. You got to maintain it. But listen, it takes works, amen, to fill a church.
Right.
You can't come into church and fall through the floor. You can't come to church and pew break. When you said in it, amen. I mean, it takes a lot of works to fill a church, amen. And listen, it takes workers to fill a church. Jesus handpicked his workers. Look over there in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, 17. And now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he got a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Jesus handpicked his workers.
Yeah, that's right.
Not only that, look at Mark chapter 2, verse 14. You got Matthew here. He's a Levi. And he's here. Look here, verse number 14. And he passed by and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the seat of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, Jesus, he handpicked his workers.
Yeah,
every church has to have some workers.
Right.
Right.
Now, just this morning here, I saw Brother Jerry helping Sister Brenda over there with the sound system. Rita's back here at the back. But I saw her trying to help with this thing here, trying to get the light off. But you know what? We got to have workers. This stuff just don't happen.
That's right.
Brother Ed, he done got the air going. Hey, man. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Especially when I stand right on top of this vent. But it takes a lot of work. Hey, it takes a lot of work and a lot of workers. And I've been in churches when you couldn't get nobody to do nothing. But in this church, I want you to know we got a surplus of good workers.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what, just the food last Sunday speaks to effect of what I'm talking about right now. I love to eat, as you can tell. Hey, I put on a pound or two. Ain't gonna be long. Y'all gonna have a fat preacher for Lord Terry. Hey, and you don't run me off. But listen, it takes workers, amen, to fill a church, amen.
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 That thing's still on. I thought that was a truck went by a while ago. We got great workers in this church.
That's right.
Not only does it take works to fill a church and workers fill a church, but it takes prayer to fill the church.
Yes.
Look at verse number 35 of Mark chapter number 1. In verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, talking about Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Hey, listen, Jesus went out a great while before day to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus told us to pray and not faint, Luke 18:1. Paul told us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul told us to be instant in prayer, Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And he told us not to be slothful in verse number 11. But did you notice Jesus got up a great while for day? That's a good time to pray.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about my phone ringing during that time, Brother Donnie.
Amen, brother.
I don't have to worry about somebody knocking on the door like they did this morning and said, hey, you got a bunch of cows out there? And I said, they ain't my cows.
they're my neighbor's cows, and I called Bert Walker and said, you got some cows out down there? And, you know, that's all I do is tell them, you got cows out, I ain't getting them up. But you know what? I ain't got no cows to get up. But listen, early in the morning, I had two dogs, one at my foot and one right beside me as I was there praying this morning. And they both know I'm going to pray, and they ain't going to lick me in the face, and they ain't going to bother me while I'm praying. I'll take them out of the room and shut the door. So they just lay there and be real quiet. And I'm pouring out my heart to God. I pray for all of y'all, name you one by one. I pray for everyone here and people that ain't here. I'll call all your names up to God. I'll call all your needs up to God. And I tell the Lord, Lord, this needs this. Lord, this needs that. Lord, if you don't care, help this one. Lord, if you don't care, encourage this one. If you don't care, Lord, nudge this one. But he went out a great while before day, and he went to a solitary place.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Brother Mitchell right. talked about going to eat. And he said they were down at Bully's. And him and Phyllis, and he said, bowed his head and prayed. Some guy seen him praying and pay for his dinner. He went there to pay for his dinner. Somebody said, don't pay for it. I'll tell you right now, there's a blessing in praying.
Amen.
Sometimes it's like that, but I want you to know it's a blessing every time you bow your head and call upon Him that's rich in mercy. Go and call upon Him. I want you to know He's a rewarder.
Amen.
For those who do it to see
yes.
Him.
Yes.
Ain't nothing like laying there in bed, waking up about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, the Bible said in Psalms 46, verse 10. Be still.
Yeah,
no, right. I'm God.
That's right.
Ain't nothing like it. Wake up early in the morning, Brenda. Just realize that the Lord's right there watching over you.
Yes, He is.
I don't know if He knows the reason you woke up or not, but just sit there in the stillness of that morning.
Yes.
And say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you that my house ain't on fire.
Amen.
Thank you I got a nice bed to sleep in.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, I got a roof over my head, food to eat. Boy, I'm dealing with them early morning prayers are some of the best prayers ever.
Amen.
It takes a lot of prayer to keep having problems in the church.
Amen.
Now, if I get to this part in this message, I don't know that I will, but if I do, it's going to be catering to the problems that arise. They're trying to keep a church going.
Yes.
It's not a cakewalk, I tell you right now.
Right.
It takes a lot of discernment. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of things. A lot of people don't have no idea what all goes into keeping a church above the water. I've seen them sink. I've seen them just come flat line. Nobody showing up. One time, me and Brother Ed showed up over here, but we understood the situation. We done the best we could. He shouted just like there was 100 people there, and I tried to fix out made it. I mean, we done our best, amen. We was just trying to hold the fort, amen. That early morning prayer. Boy, I'll tell you, I thank God for prayer, first of all.
Yes.
I thank Him for them early morning prayers when there's no distractions, no interruptions. And I pray a lot. I do. There's just so much to pray about. I can't put it aside. I'm praying driving down the road. I'm praying at work. Man, I'm praying even right now. I'm praying for somebody. I keep it continually going on. There's so much need out there.
Yes, it is.
I remember one time I was in the bedroom praying. My wife opened the door and she just went about whatever she's doing. Never paid no attention to me at all. Never shut the door. No regard, no respect, no nothing. But another time I was praying and my daughter opened the door and then she eased it back closed and then she opened it up, Brenda, and she come and knelt down beside me weeping. I just laid my arm over her and I just kept right on praying. Just kind of pulled up to me there while I was praying. Another time I'm praying, the granddaughter comes in civil and she just kind of eased in there by her grandpa and I just pulled her up there, you know, and I'm holding on to her and I'm praying. I'm praying for her. I thank God for prayer. It's one of the most wonderful privileges that God gives us to come to the throne of grace and make our petitions known. Hey, I don't know about you, but praise God for prayer. I need to pray more. I'm telling you, you need to pray more. It takes a lot of prayer.
Amen.
Keep the church going.
That's right.
Amen.
You pray enough, they'll show up. I'll tell you that right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
show
right.
enough. Accomplish more through prayer problem than will anything.
That's right. Amen.
And let me say this. It takes sinners to fill a church.
Uh-huh. Yes, it does.
I'm a saved sinner.
Amen.
you are too if you're saved. Amen.
Amen.
But notice verse number 15 of Mark chapter 2. It came to pass that as Jesus said at meeting, that's what we did last Sunday. We had
homecoming. We sat down and enjoyed a meal. And it says, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For they were many, and they followed him. And you know what? Sinners, saved and not saved. They need to sup with Jesus. They need to sit down with Jesus. And look, they were enjoying a meal together. I said something to Brenda yesterday about a song. And in that song it says, bring them all, bring them all, bring them all to Jesus. Broken hearts and troubled souls. I don't know the words to it, but she's going to learn it. She's going to sing it. I done put her on the spot, amen. I laid it on. I said, if you can sing it, I want you to sing it. I've got a message God stirred my heart about. Whenever I get the message done, she's going to be here. I'm going to get her to sing that song during the invitation. And she knows what song I'm talking about. That's what we need to do. We need to bring them to Jesus, amen. Hey, listen, spiritually and physically, we get a good meal if you're in the right church, amen. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, amen. There's a lot of people on the outside of the church, and they need to come in.
Amen.
They haven't been here. They've got their own opinion. It may not necessarily be right. I used to be one of them. I thought everybody in church looked down and nosed at you. And you know, thought, you know, why ain't you good two shoes like me? But I didn't realize everybody's just a sinner like me.
That's
saved
right
by the grace of God.
Right.
Hey, listen, we're all in the same boat, amen.
Right.
Hey,
right.
I don't want you to know, buddy. Hey, every church, it needs to be filled. And it needs to be filled with sinners. I had somebody not too long ago, Brother Eddie, said, I want to bring some people over there. And they got problems. And they're pretty bad. I said, bring them. Yeah, I know what they need.
Yeah.
They may not get it, but I'll tell you what, I can certainly point them in the right direction.
Right.
I mean, I heard somebody say, you lead a horse to water, if you can't make it drink, you put enough salt in his mouth, he will. I'm going to salt him down for a good water here, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Amen.
Remember when I was little, my uncle told me, you put salt on a bird's head and you catch it?
Yeah.
Here I am out there trying to put salt on a bird's head. I may not be able to put no salt on a bird's tail. I'm glad I didn't have to deal with back then. Brother Ed, I'm out here trying to put salt on a bird's tail. But listen, I do know that we're the salt.
Amen.
I do know that.
That's right.
And you know what? I don't want my salt to lose my Savior. I want you to know if they come, they're going to hear something worth hearing.
Right.
And I'm going to preach the Word of God to them.
Yeah.
And the Lord's going to minister to them. And they're going to realize, but they should have been got here a long time ago. But they're going to get on board. And they're going to give their heart to Jesus. Because we're begotten by the Word. And the Holy Spirit always honors the Word. And the Word of God don't return void. It prospers in the thing and sent it out. And listen, I've been on both ends of that Word.
Right.
I remember back when I was trying to hide from it. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about white knuckles on the pews,
yeah,
you know, trying to hide from the Word of God. And now I'm saying, yeah, preach it, amen. Yeah, glory. Hey, I'm on the right side, amen. I'm on the blessed side, not the blister side, amen. Hey, that Word, I mean, it wrecked over me like hot coals, amen. Praise God. It takes sinners, Brother Mitchell, to fill a church.
That's right.
I didn't think I was going to be able to get this last point. This is a rough one. I'm looking there, it's 12 o'clock. We usually get out about 12:30. So I'm going to flip this thing over. It's rough in here.
Amen.
Every church has to deal with what I'm going to preach about right here. This is not trouble. I wish it didn't have to be so. But every church has to do with this point where it says. You're not going to have a good church if you ignore what I'm fixing to mention right now. I learned this from my pastor. Man, he don't waste no time what I'm going to mention right here. He told me one time, he said, Eddie, for the sake of the church, he said, it grieves me that I've got to tell somebody to leave if they won't do right in the church, if they won't respect the church.
That's
he said,
right.
It grieves me that I've got to tell them to leave. But he said, Eddie, for the sake of the church, he said, I'd rather lose one and lose 50.
That's right.
10. So what I'm fixing to preach right here, put your seatbelt on. I didn't think we'd get to this, but this is kind of good. I'd kind of like to move on anyway. It takes a good cleaning to fill a church.
That's right.
Let me say this. This church, it's always immaculate. But I'm talking about a different type of cleaning.
Yeah,
You got to clean the devils out of the church. And you might as well say amen, brother.
Amen.
I mean, amen, amen, amen. I've seen it on both ends. Jesus taught and Jesus preached with authority.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm going to slow down here. There's some people, they just don't like authority, brother Ed.
That's right.
I don't like to usurp authority. I don't.
No.
Let me tell you, there's got to be authority in the church.
That's right.
There has to be order. I don't know if y'all got a church. Yeah. I mean, you know, we have a constitution. It's been torn pieces, like Nancy Pelosi tore the president's speech up there, and you know, when he's the House Speaker tore that. That's about what they're doing to the Constitution. But every church has bylaws and orders. You got to have them. And you know, my pastor, he's helped me out a lot. He said, "Brother Eddie, if you don't have them, then people can abuse the church and say, you know, we're going to have same-sex wedding in your church because you know, you got to make exceptions. You got to accommodate our need, whatever. Let's hold my dead body first of all." But he said, "In order to protect yourself, he said you have to write it up that your church will not accommodate anything that's not biblical." Amen. So you have to use some discernment. You have to make some exceptions, and you have to make sure you know you don't make yourself vulnerable. But Jesus, he taught and preached with authority. Look over in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. You know, some people, they just never heard the Bible. Now, I've read it completely through 17 times, and I've read a lot besides those 17 times. It would astonish a lot of people to know what's in that Bible.
Right.
First year I read my Bible through Brother Mitchell, I spent more time that year on my knees. I'm sorry. I mean, I already knew I was sorry. I just didn't know how sorry I was till I read the Bible study.
Amen.
And I mean, I seen myself in my mirror, and I didn't look that bad in my mirror. But in the mirror of God, buddy, I was lost and undone. Hey, I was a candidate for hell. And I want you to know, by the grace of God, I escaped that damnation and got adopted in the family of God. Amen. And now heaven's my home. And one day, I'm going home, amen. Yeah. Hey, I want you to know, buddy, the Word of God will astonish a lot of people. There's some people, they just handpick, you know, a little verse here, a little verse there. But Paul said, we declare the whole counsel of God.
That's right.
And, you know, the preacher, if he's any kind of preacher at all, and I hope he is, he won't get his sermons off the internet. He'll get down on his knees and pray and say, "Lord, you know what's needed? Help me to find what your will is here, that I might be the messenger boy I need to be and deliver the message of God." Amen. Hey, listen, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. That word's important.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And not as the scribes. Well, what's the difference? Well, anything goes with the scribes. Feels good, do it. But with authority, you put boundaries up. With authority, you said that ain't happening here. With authority, you set the order of things, and everything needs to be done decently and orderly in the church. And there needs to be authority in the church. And we got a bunch of rebels nowadays, more so than they had back then. But they had them back then too. And look here, they're not as the scribes. Look at verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit.
Yeah.
And he cried out. See that? Amen. That authority. That doctrine. But it rocked his boat, so to speak. Notice verse 24. Here's what he cried out, Carolyn. Let us alone. Now, Brother Ed told me he had a round with Karen's doctor. He didn't let him alone. He was pretty bad. But you see, that doctor wanted to be let alone. He was over there playing on the computer, and I don't know. He may have been, you know, doing his duty as a doctor, seeing opinion about things. I don't know. I really don't have no dog in that. But old Brother Ed, he didn't leave him alone. He went over there and he said, "I got some questions I want them answered now." That doctor, he quit looking on the computer, got right with Brother Ed, amen. But I want you to know, he rocked that bone a little bit. Well, Jesus comes in the synagogue, and he's a bunch of scribes, you know, they tickling ears, you know, making everybody crumble, feel good. Somebody said, "I want to go to church where I can feel good." Listen, you know, you need to go to a church where you don't feel good till you get right with God.
Amen. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
You go somewhere where you feel good, you're going to end up dying in your sin went somewhere other than where you should have went. Amen. I thank God I got into a Bible-believing church Amen. And a man Amen. Of God preached the Word Amen. Of God Amen. And there wasn't no getting around about it. And the problem was me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I went in there, Brother Donnie, I was pretty proud. I was drunk. Yeah, I tied one on Saturday night. I didn't even go to church Sunday morning. And I ain't going to tell this again. I will tell you this, I got sobered up pretty quick.
Amen.
Word of God, buddy, I tell you, he salted my tail real good.
Amen.
Amen.
This man here, he's got an unclean spirit. I've been in some churches, but they have them. And if you read your Bible a little bit, you'll find out a lot of churches have them.
That's right.
But anyway, he cried out, "Let us alone!" Thank God, I'm glad Rick didn't leave me alone. I'm glad, praise God, he preached it. I mean, precept upon precept, line upon line. He plowed down my road. Hey, he didn't leave nothing out, amen.
That's right.
That unclean spirit cried out, saying, "Let us alone."
Yeah.
Notice this. "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" See, people,
yeah.
They want to have church. Just don't mention Jesus.
That's right.
I know we got a lot of diversity going on in our country right now. And they say, it's okay to pray. Just don't mention that name Jesus. Listen, you ain't going to mention that name Jesus. Ain't no sense of praying.
That's right.
Jesus
That's
said, whatever you ask in my name,
yeah. Right.
He said, it'll be given unto you. Right. Why would we pray if we don't pray in His name? That's
right.
All the access we have to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "No man come to the Father Amen. But by me." Amen.
Right.
I want you to know we got a mediator between us and God, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
They won't leave Jesus out.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
This man, this unclean spirit, Carolyn, he said, "Let us alone."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "What have we got to do with you?" You see what I'm talking about? They had a problem, Brenda.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus.
That's right.
Hey, he the church belongs to him.
That's right.
He purchased it with his own blood.
He
asked the disciples one day, "Who do men say I am?" One of them said, "Jeremiah." He was a weeping prophet. He looked on Jerusalem and wept.
Yeah.
The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. He was kind of like Jeremiah. He did weep. But there was more to him. One of them said, "Or Elijah." Jesus said, "But who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Simon Bar-Jonah." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." He said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." He said, "On this rock," talking about himself,
"I'll
build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I want you to know they didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. They just played in church. You know, a lot of people do that, Brother Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
They just pretend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's right.
Wasn't it good today? Didn't Brother Eddie look good today? Wasn't he debonair? Hey, listen, I don't care what I look like. God help me if I don't preach the Word of God. God help me if I don't deliver what God said me to preach. How Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, he said, I receive a reward. But woe unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm praying God will make me bigger than what I am already. I want to be as big as I can for the Lord. I know I'm just a little preacher. I don't deny it. I'm not wanting to be no bigger than God wants me to be, but I don't want to stay a little preacher, amen. I want to grow in the Lord. I want to see great and mighty things, amen. Hey, this man, this unclean spirit, he said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Who art thou? Come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. Let me tell you something, buddy. Paul told the young preacher, Timothy, he said, "Preach the word."
Yeah, that's right.
Be instant in season, out of season.
That's right. Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen.
For the time will come,
they'll
not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and be turned from the truth to fables. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
That unclean spirit said, "What have we to do with thee? Let us alone." I'm glad it didn't leave me alone.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
You remember when the Lord dealt with you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't leave me alone.
Amen.
What about you? didn't need to be left alone.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you right now, hallelujah, thank God he rocked my boat. Oh, let me get on down here.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, he rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace,
yeah,
come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Notice this. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? Wherefore with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, yeah, and they do obey him. And I want you to notice verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around Galilee.
Yeah.
You know, he rebuked that devil. That devil had to get out. Man, he hit the road. Amen. Look at verse 34. He healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. You know, we need to get a bunch of devils out. I said it takes good cleaning to fill a church. You get the devils out and there'll be some people come in, amen, that'll be there for the right reason, not to cause any problems or nothing. And you know, in Revelation chapter 2 verse 13, the Lord speaking to the church of Pergamos, you know what he said? He said he knew where Satan's seat was.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Amen.
A church having a seat with Satan's name on it. The devil, you sit right here. I don't know about y'all, but maybe you can agree with me here. I don't know how many times Sister Joanne, I've sat in church and the devil sitting down beside me. You know what he'd say, Tammy? He'd say, if I was you, I'd leave without a show of him. You know, I have never won any little pity parties, you know, the pretty bad showing me enough attention, you know. And I do try to show y'all attention. I know that, you know, it gives you a blessing when you recognize. I understand that. I'm the same way. I just like it. I like somebody mentioning, oh, Brother Eddie, thank you for praying for me, Brother Eddie, this, Brother Eddie. I like that, and I know you do too. But I had the devil sit beside me, Sybil. You know what he said? He said, if I was you, I'd just leave that show. Now, that's the devil. He's sitting over right beside me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if y'all had that happen to you or not, but I've had him sit beside me, and I can't even hear the preacher up there, because I'm sitting there entertaining all this stuff from the devil. And you know what? The Lord just throwed him out, amen? But listen, he said this church of Pergamos, he said, I know where his seat is there in the church.
That's right.
And if you don't get the devils out, not only will it affect the doctrine of the church that we just read, but Jesus mentioned about the depths of Satan in Revelation chapter 2, verse 24. If you don't get the devils out, it'll sink the church. Amen.
Right.
I mean, I know every church has got some devils in it, but you can just have so many. And if you don't get them out of there, I want you to know, buddy, it'll sink the church. It'll let them stay there. And that devil, I want you to know, buddy, he'll cause all kind of problems.
Yes,
you got the devil of criticism. Look at it in verse 6 through 12. There were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning within their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? I told you a while ago I was going to hit on that. If I didn't get it today, I'd get it on next time. Who can forgive sins but God only? That devil of criticism. He can't.
Right.
You know, nothing's right to them. They say, I've got an opinion. Donnie's got an opinion. Most of our opinions are pretty close. But his opinion is not exactly like mine. And we're supposed to forbear one another. I don't pull a gun out or shoot him. I don't threaten him or nothing. I don't pick up a rock and throw it at him. But, you know, I understand his opinion's not going to be exactly like mine, but we got a lot of common ground.
Amen, brother.
We don't have that much we disagree on. I mean, other doting politics and all that stuff, you know, and all that, and you could probably get them too. But that devil of criticism, they'll criticize the work of God.
Yeah.
Man, I keep forgetting about that. I'm up here preaching like a wild man. That devil of questioning. Look at verse 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? That devil of questioning. They question everything.
Yeah.
They question what Brother Ed does. They question what Brother Eddie does. They want to know why everything's like it is.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That devil of criticism, that devil of questioning. Man, they'll question the work of God. Well, I just don't know. You know, that's not the way we done it. And, you know, they question the way you take up the offering. They question the way you partake of the Lord's Supper. They question the way you pray. They question the way you preach. And they question the baptism. baptismal service and everything else.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, listen. We got to have a good cleaning to fill a church.
Right.
The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? You all right, Brother Ed?
No, I got to go to the hospital.
Hey, you want to take that thing with you?
I'll just shut it off and I'll come back by and get it later.
Lord, we thank you for this service today. Thank you for your blessings today. Be it Brother Ed, his wife, Sister Karen. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just pray, Father, Lord, everything will be all right. We thank you for this dear sister, Lord. Come in, Lord, bring him word.
Yes,
we just pray, God, Lord, in your tender hands, Father. Lord, everything will be all right. We don't know where to take it, Lord, except but to you. We bring this matter to you, Father, in humble prayer. Ask you, Lord, to help, Father, in this situation. His wife's in dire health. And Lord, the doctors, Lord, do what they can. And we know they're limited. We know their positions of no value sometimes in some situations. But we just pray everything will be all right. In Jesus' name, be with Brother Ed. Lord, I pray work all that out. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
We'll end it right there. You get preaching about the devil, I'll tell you right now, buddy. You can count on problems showing up.
That's right.
Man, I don't know how many times I've preached about the devil. Next thing I know, I'm fighting him all week long. And if one lines the devil like you, is that right? Is that right? Yeah. What about that? Yeah. What about this? Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if Brother Ed let that thing on or not. You got it turned off? All right. Let's all stand to get Brother Jerry, please, and Sister Sharon, just maybe a verse of invitation on him. I don't think nobody means. I just really kind of pastoral type message, just exhorting you about things that we all know about, we all deal with, and you know, ain't no getting out of it down here. We're trouble on every side, and down here we're not home. But when we get home, there'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more problems. But down here, we have to deal with them. I appreciate that dear lady. I don't know who she was. I seen her walk in.
Terry.
And she brought Brother Ed some kind of word, and he's leaving out.